established the process of devotional service. Sanatana Goswami, he is the Sambandha Guru. Mother Mahan is the Sambandharide, the Lord of Sambandha. So that means a relationship. So that would describe then what is the field of activities, what are all the elements of that field, what each element does in the field, and the proper attitude that one would have in working within the field of devotional service. So then Rupa Goswami then will describe the actual devotional process itself, like that. What would be the devotional activities that would be performed, what would be favorable, what would not be favorable, what is appropriate. So, as discussed yesterday, then he starts with the basics, the principles. See, when we're dealing with spiritual, basics are up, right? Because they come from the spiritual world. So you're talking about the principles that everything in this material world is based upon. So that is reflected here in the material world. So the basis is actually up. Then in the material world, then it reverses. So what is up in the spiritual world is down here. So this concept of basics or fundamentals in this world is given a secondary place. Right, and the details are made into great, how much detail you know, then that great you are, right? I mean, you're supposed to have a certain body of knowledge. The more knowledge you have, then that's considered somehow or another more special. Not if you actually know what you're talking about. You know what I'm saying? You can be very educated in this world, right? In a field, but you do not have to actually know conclusion. Right? What is the actual conclusion of it? In fact, the modern academy, this is not allowed. You cannot come to an actual conclusion that this conclusion is right. You can conclude your thoughts, a presentation you conclude, but you cannot say that this actually is the absolute truth. That is considered offensive in the modern academy. So this therefore means that you can be very educated in many broad variety of details, right? You need a bibliography of at least 500 works if you want to present a proper thesis. That's detail. In fact, if you got it from one place, you studied Bhagavatam, took all the quotes from Bhagavatam, the modern academy would not accept your thesis. Right? So detail is very, very, very important. But conclusion, fundamentals, how it actually works, that they don't even want to hear about. Because if they hear about it, that means mental speculation is over. And that's the fun of the modern academy, is mental speculation. Right? Does that make sense? In the practical world, notice we say practical world, then in the practical world where they're dealing in subject matters that they actually use, right, in your life, your engineering, your medical, your law, all these different things like that, those different branches of the academy, then they have their fundamentals, but those fundamentals are still considered at the bottom, right? You build a building, you don't see the foundation, right? No one talks about the foundation. If you've ever done construction, sometimes the foundation is more amazing than the building. What goes into it, the engineering, because of the ground that it's on, it's practically impossible to build a building there, but the engineers work out a way to do it. Right? So it's something very, very amazing. But nobody cares. It's just what sticks out of the ground, that's what's important. Right? Does this make sense? So you know your ABCs, that doesn't really matter in this world. It's what you can do with it. Okay? So, but the point point is it's the detail that's important. Mastery is not something that is expected in these days. Right? In the days of yore, mastery was considered something special. Nowadays, it's not important. If you have it, great, but if you don't, it's not considered a prerequisite. So the idea being is that these basics sometimes, why we're saying all this, is because even in Krishna consciousness, because it's basic, we have a tendency to overlook it. I'm not this body, we're spirit soul. All right, been there, done that, heard that the first few days I was in the door. So why do you do the activities you do? Because you think you're this body. Right? So it still applies, but because it's basic, no, I want to hear some technical rasa or some technical something else, something new, some new story. That makes it exciting. Right? Same old thing, no interest. But Rupa Goswami is pointing out here that the basic principles always apply. That means if you don't know the basic principles, you are not applying Krishna consciousness always in your life. That's the conclusion of this point. You don't know the basics, there's a good chance you're not that Krishna conscious. Because the basics always apply. You're applying the basics, then it's a matter of, as you mature, how much detail you can add to those basics. Right? That's then how much is your sophistication, or your maturity, or your development. Right? Or it doesn't even have to be in great detail, just your realization of the principle. You don't have to be a big academic, very intelligent to understand. What we're looking for is realization. Right? Krishna consciousness, the point is realization, not necessarily great amounts of knowledge. Right? If you're an intelligent person, you're a sophisticated person, then you should have lots of intelligent understanding and sophistication in your Krishna conscious philosophical understanding. If you don't, you're missing the point. Right? Your life is sophisticated, your car is sophisticated, your clothes are sophisticated, your accessories, your house, your everything else, but what about your philosophy and Krishna consciousness? That's not sophisticated, you missed the point. Why? Because you missed the basics. Right? So we see here is that of all the 64 items that are going to be here, the first ones are the most important. Right? Because that's the fundamental. And Prabhupada calls it primary. Preliminary necessities. So preliminary means, you know, like nursery school, you know, little kids. But here it's that, no, I mean, Rupa Goswami is doing this. Haridas Thakur is doing this, right? Taking shelter of the spiritual master, following the instructions. Does this make sense? Just going over again from another angle, the importance of the basics, right? Because that makes everything work. So then now he's described basically in 5 points out of the first 10 points that are considered preliminary. 5 points are then the spiritual master, you know, accepting spiritual master, being initiated, then following his instructions as far as the previous acharyas are concerned, right? Then after that, then we are things in connection to the Lord, surrendering to the Lord, and giving up things for the Lord, living in his place, only dealing with the material energy as much as you need to, right? Observing Ekadasi and worshipping Tulsi. So then, these are preliminary necessities, and so starting this, then devotional service gets dynamic, right? So everyone comes to Krishna consciousness, they take up, they accept Srila Prabhupada as the Siksha Guru, his instructions are important, and we start moving forward, we start following the principles of devotional service. Then we have the next 10. So if these are followed, one will make quick advancement. It's pointed out here. Okay. Then the next set of instructions is listed as follows. One should rigidly give up the company of non-devotees. Two, one should not instruct a person who is not desirous of accepting devotional service. Three, one should not be very enthusiastic about constructing costly temples or monasteries. Four, one should not try to read too many books, nor should one develop the idea of earning his livelihood by lecturing on or professionally reciting Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. Five, one should not be neglectful in ordinary dealings. Six, one should not be under the spell of lamentation in loss or jubilation in gain. Seven, one should not disrespect the demigods. Eight, one should not give unnecessary trouble to any living entity. Nine, one should carefully avoid the various offenses in chanting the holy name of the Lord or in worshipping the deity in the temple. 10. One should be very intolerant towards the blasphemy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, or his devotees. Without following the above-mentioned 10 principles, one cannot properly elevate himself to the platform of sadhana bhakti, or devotional service and practice. Altogether, Srila Rupa Goswami mentions 20 items, and all of them are very important. Out of the 20, the first three, namely accepting the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, taking initiation from him, and serving him with respect and reverence, are the most important. Right? So these first ones then situate you, in the beginning, in taking up devotional service. You will advance in Krishna consciousness. The second then establish one in sadhana bhakti. So what's important here, all these things, is the mentality that's behind it. Right? That's just not the form of it is important. Naturally, form follows, the mentality. But the point is, it's the mentality that we're looking at. Right? Mentality is actually what we're looking for. Sometimes we feel that if the form is there, then everything's perfect. We start with the form, but the most important thing is the mentality one has practicing that form. So here, one should rigidly give up the company of non-devotees. In other words, it doesn't. Now, company then is described by Manu as means where you eat with them, you stay with them, you live with them, you do all these different activities with them. It doesn't mean that you're riding on the bus with them, you're at work with them, you have to interact with them on your various levels of day-to-day activity. That's not what is mentioned. It means, the company means, it's not your preferred association, right? If the non-devotees are your preferred association, difficulty is their mentality is what you're going to take up. Right? It's considered one of the five great sins is associating with those who are committed to performing the four great sins. Right? It means those who are into, the killing of Brahmins, meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, these things, those who are committed to this kind of lifestyle, associating with them, then that's considered the fifth sin. So we see here is that Rupa Goswami is bringing out that it is not recommended to take such association seriously. Sometimes devotees may find that the dealings with devotees may not be satisfying, and you deal with the karmis, they're very nice and pleasant, but that is there on one level, but why are they nice and pleasant? Right? Is it actually because they're very actual nice people, good people, all the way around, or is it because of business, is it just because of their culture, right? Someone off the street doesn't deal nice because that's their culture. Someone deals nice, they're going to deal nice with anybody, right? So it's not specifically you that they're interested in. Does that make sense? That's the way they were trained by their family, just, deal nicely and be pleasant and all that. So that kind of, one should not be, it's the culture. culture is nice, but the point is the actual motive behind it may not be, have its roots in something very deep, right? Like that. Two, one should not instruct a person who is not desirous of accepting devotional service. If someone's not interested in devotional service, we don't explain it to them. Because what you don't know, you can't comment on. Right? You know, I say, okay, we have one Mr. Smith. Okay? I know one Mr. Smith, so make some comment.
Reading too many books, if you don't read the book, you're not obliged to follow it. Right?
right? So Srila Prabhupada mentioned we have to read his books. So that's a lot of books, but that's not too many books. Too many books means beyond that. Does that make sense? So reading other books just for something new, something special, something, that's not important, because once you read, then you know you're obligated. Right? That's how it works. So unless one can synthesize all the knowledge one's getting from these various books, it's not important to read them. Does that make sense? So if you're thinking Prabhupada says this, but this acharya says that, then that means you shouldn't read them. If one can synthesize, then it's okay. It's under authorization. Prabhupada's mentioned about reading the books of the acharyas. He's mentioned specific books. So it's not that they can't be read. His point is read his books first, then read these others, right? Just like Rupa Goswami is saying, first learn from one's own spiritual master, then you follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. Right? Does that make sense? So once you read Prabhupada's book, then one reads. But you have to see those other books in relationship to Srila Prabhupada's books. And if you do that, it works. You don't do that, you miss the point. Don't think, well, this one says this, that one says that. We're talking about Rupa Goswami here. So I don't think anyone can pull rank on Rupa Goswami. Okay. So that's the point. Following the footsteps of great acharyas under the direction of the spiritual master. Right? It's not that, okay, your spiritual master is finished, now we move on to... No, it doesn't work like that. That's not how Krishna works. Krishna works by your connection to him. Right? Does that make sense? Not you're born into a family, and you say, okay, well, my father, out of all the uncles, is actually the youngest brother, so he's the smallest. So now that I'm in the family and I've understood this, now I will move up, and now I will take shelter and consider one of the other uncles as my father, and that will then increase my position in the family. Right? Does it work? No. So why doesn't it work? Because it doesn't work for Krishna. Krishna made family relationships. That's why. So this whole idea is Prabhupada's given this much, and now someone else is going to take you beyond. These are the blabberings of people who don't understand the philosophy. It just doesn't work like that. It's not allowed. Even in the Vedic line, you have so many Vedas, and within those you have so many Shakas. Like that. It is not allowed that you change Shakas. Even in the Vedic. It's considered an offense to the head of that line.
What's the shaka?
A shaka is a branch of the Veda. Like you have Rig Veda, it'll have so many branches. It means you have grammatical rules on the chanting. That'll be one aspect. And there's so many options. So somebody will use one option, somebody will use another option. And in this way, a distinct school comes out. Or the specific secondary books that they use, what Brahmanas, what Aranyakas, like this, because there's so many of them, so which ones they use, so what particular unique combination that they use that are all bona fide books, that makes the line like that. So there are lots of them. Sama Veda was like 1,000 shakas. The other Vedas then were much less, but still, you know. But to change those shakas, that's not allowed. And that's a Vedic principle. So this idea is that I'm with Prabhupada and now I'll go off with someone else. You know, some people authorize it, but in the Vedic literature it's not authorized. Like that. So where do they get these ideas from? It speaks well to Westerners who don't know what is family and what is culture. Because you see, they fall prey to it the easiest. Generally Indians don't have as much problem. You know, because they're personally committed to this particular person or this particular mat. And that's the way it is. You know, it's just because of their natural personal and how you say, upbringing, so they don't have this problem. Does that make sense? Like that. So one has to be very, very careful in all these things. So that's why all these, that's the reason that these elements are there. One doesn't become bewildered, right? Sometimes you see the movies, they go off, they join other sampradayas, they join the Ramanujas, they join the Madhvas. We have no problem with the Ramanujas and Madhvas, but you know, let them pick you up off the street, right? There's a gutter. In this gutter you are sitting. Then, you know, so did the Ramanujas come and pick you up out of that gutter? No. Should the Prabhupada pick you up? Right? So that's the point. This kind of commitment is what the residents in the spiritual world are looking for. They're people. Sometimes we just take it as philosophy, we do as we like. No, that's not very mature. Residents of the spiritual world are people. And they believe in family values. And if you don't, they're not very interested. How can they trust you? You know, how can they trust that today you're not here and tomorrow you're off with some other group? So why they should get close to you, why they should commit themselves to you, right? Because it's not so easy like here, you change hats, right? The Westerners have this nice little, game they call it, changing hats. You know, we're best of friends, but I put on my work hat and I can rip you to shreds and, you know, not consider anything that we've ever been together before. And then when I'm finished, I put back on my I'm your best friend hat and I think it's going to be normal. That's called neurotic. That's called insane. Right? And all you have to do is look at the modern culture to figure it out. But they're totally convinced that it's fine. So this is subhuman. This is not human behavior. You know, you deal with somebody, you commit yourself to them. Why the residents of the spiritual world should commit themselves to someone who is busy, you know, running all over the place. This one's alive, oh, follow him. Oh, he died, okay, forget him. Run after this one here. Why they should take someone like that seriously? How can you commit yourself to someone like that? These are people. You know, we forget that Krishna and his associates are people. Right? They're the perfect people, but they follow perfect culture. So that's why the culture is so important in Krishna consciousness, because we have to associate with people who are culturally perfect. But, you know, we tend to, oh, it doesn't matter, the rules is that, and, you know, throw them out, anything goes for Krishna consciousness. Nice, but where are those people? Where are they? There's a room full of people here. Basically speaking, these are all new faces in this room. Where are they? This room used to be full of hundreds of other people. They're not here. They're in Sydney. They're not here. So it didn't work. That idea, anything goes, didn't work. If it did, why aren't they sitting here? Right? Why am I giving the class? I'm the new kid on the block. Right? Does that make sense? So this is reality. So what has to be very, very careful is that all these things, there's not a problem with reading books. But it can't be too many books. Too many means you haven't digested the ones that you have. You can't assimilate these ones into what you already have. Does that make sense? Because if you don't assimilate, you have a problem. You can't say, oh, I'll just read it. It doesn't matter. We don't care for the rules. We chant Hare Krishna. Great. Why did Rupa Goswami write this point? Right? Rupa Goswami could have had this whole book and said, we chant Hare Krishna, we couldn't care less about all those rules that my brother Sanatan Goswami spent years digging out and putting together in an encyclopedia. You know, ha ha ha, jokes on him. You know? He didn't do that. He's saying, my brother wrote all these things. Now, it's very important because that's Sambandha. But I want to get to the essence of that, the basics. So that it's very clear how you're going to apply them in your life. Because ritual, everybody understands. I perform a ritual, there's something spiritual or pious about it. But to be able to be very clear how it's devotion, that's another thing. Right? There's plenty of people who follow the Vedic rituals but have no idea about devotion. And they're very expert. And they are Brahmins. Right? Sometimes devotees will make the comments that, you know, we're the only ones that are Brahmins. Brahmins said, no, there's people who aren't Brahmins. You know, in India, they behave like it. Right? When they went for the Hyderabad temple opening and there was this group of Sri Vaishnavas there and Prabhupada came, they started off chanting these mantras, that sankalpa, you know, means the determination that I'm going to perform an activity. So they start off with, you know, the lifetime of Brahma, right? You start off with, in the 51st year of Brahma's lifetime, right? In the 28th cycle of the Mahayugas, right? And everything means in the day of Brahma. Then you have, I mean, then you say the kalpa. It's the day of Brahma, you say, which is of 1,000 Mahayugas. Then you say the 28th Mahayuga. That's what we're in. Of that, the Kali Yuga. With that, within the first one quarter. The first pada. Pada is going 5,000 years. So in the first pada. Within that, then, you know, you get down to the cycle of 60 years of the sun, then down to whether the sun is going to the south or the north, like that. Then the season, then the month, then the, how you say, the phase of the moon, then the particular tithi. And then you start off with, okay, within the universe, then within this planetary system, within Bharat Varsha, within the Khandas, Bharat Khanda, then on this particular side of the Ganga, then at this place, then we are doing this sacrifice. So they're saying all this in Sanskrit, right? And Prabhupada, when he was listening to all this, then he turns to the devotees and says, these are Brahmins. Right? Like that. So that's the point. Brahmins are there, people are doing it. It's not that there's us and everybody else is a nonsense, okay? It's good that one considers, unless one is connected to Krishna, it's nonsense would be consistent then. Use that logic throughout every aspect of your life. If it's not connected to Krishna, it's nonsense. Right? If you haven't connected something to Krishna in your life, it's nonsense. Right? Don't just use it for political advantage, right? To make oneself feel better that we're special, but not behave as special. Right? Devotees are always special, of course. But one should act that way also. It's good. Right? At least if one is aware, then that's nice. If one's unaware, do the best you can. Okay? So in other words, it's not that we can't build temples, but that shouldn't be your motive. You can't read other books. You can read other books, but it should be in the proper, done in the proper way. Don't make your livelihood by lecturing on them. That shouldn't be your reason. Your reason is to teach. Brahman studies and teaches. Then, whatever people give him, that's then what his livelihood is. Right? But it's not a job. One should not be neglectful of ordinary dealings. That means all the day-to-day things that are required, one must not be neglectful. One may say it's Maya, but that's just the way it is. Right? In other words, you can't be neglectful to properly do whatever duties you have in the house, to properly interact, properly take care, to properly make people feel comfortable, you know, to be responsible. Does that make sense? So right here, don't be neglectful of ordinary dealings means if you're going to be late being home, you have to call your wife. You know, this is what it means. It doesn't mean, oh, I chant so I don't have to worry. So if you chant, why do you get married? That's the point, you know. If you're so transcendental, great. We have just go out this door, turn left, go up the stairs, and there's a spot there for you. So if that's not where you're staying, then don't be neglectful in ordinary dealings. Even the brahmacharis, they can't neglect not to wash their clothes or clean the ashram or, you know, do the different duties. They can't claim, oh, I'm chanting Hare Krishna so I don't wash my clothes. Like that, you know. It's actually easier because, you know, when they're really good, stinky, they walk themselves, so I only have to do half the walking to close the other half, you know. It's really easy on the back, you know, carrying those big bags, you know, like that. It gets heavy, but the clothes help, you know. So, no. One should not be under the spell of lamentation and loss or jubilation and gain. So this doesn't mean that there won't be loss and gain. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be some happiness or some distress. But it doesn't mean that you take it further. Right? Something happens nice, you're happy, don't take it into jubilation. Right? Because the problem with jubilation is its friend, best friend, is lamentation. Does that make sense? That's the problem. So if you like, if permanently living on a roller coaster is what you want to do, right, as far as your emotions go, then hey, go for it. But the problem is it'll be very hard to situate yourself in devotional service. It's not in the bhakti, because you'll be so disturbed. Either you're so happy that you forget about devotional service, or so sad you're forgetting about devotional service. Therefore, you just move with it as it moves. It will move up, it will move down. That's just the way it is. But you don't have to be so effective. Does that make sense? And it doesn't mean we're boring or dry. No, it just means you don't overly commit to it like that. Otherwise, you'll suffer. It's just the way it is. One should not disrespect the demigods because they're actually running everything. You like blinking your eyes, right? You like breathing? Okay, one of the demigods is doing all that for you. So we don't disrespect them, right? They're doing Krishna's job. We don't worship them, but we don't disrespect them. This is specifically our line, right? The Shris, then in their line, they have nothing to do with demigods. Absolutely, they won't even go near a temple. They wouldn't offer obeisances, nothing, right? Because their line is, you know, just hardcore, you know, Vishnu, bus. And it works. That's what the Acharya says. It works. It's fine. It's perfect. But in our line, because we're dealing with the Chinta Veda Veda Tattva, we have to be able to accommodate that Krishna and his energies are all happening. So the people that run those energies are also respected. Right? Because they're also then involved, the Adidaivic element. One should not give unnecessarily trouble to any living entity. So besides respecting the demigods, then all living entities are respecting them. Right? Everybody. We don't bother anybody. Right, so you're walking down the street, see some ants, you don't go out of your way to step on them. Right? They were very happily going wherever they were going. They did not need to have you step on them. Right? You know, the bird is sitting there very peacefully, you know, closer than normally they sit. It's not required that you go over there and shake your arm at them to scare them. You know, it's just not required. Maybe if you feel good, yes, with the big controller, wow, you got a bird to fly off. Yeah, you know, I mean, it's like the next movie, and make that the hand pop upside down, then you'll be the next superhero, right? You who can make birds move. So, like that, this is not necessary, it's not required. Right? One is always respectful, doesn't bother anybody. So this means any living entity, right? Even if it's how you say walks around on two legs and you're really not sure if it's human. Right? You know, nothing like that. It's rumbling at you and, you know, has so many tattoos and piercings. Like that, still you don't bother. Like that. Okay. One should carefully avoid the various offenses in chanting the holy name of the Lord or in worshipping the deity in the temple. You have the 10 offenses to the holy name, you have the 32 offenses to the deity. Those should be avoided. Because these are things that Krishna doesn't like. He doesn't like it when we bother devotees or not have faith in the spiritual master, make up our own philosophies, not have faith in the holy name. Right, or maintain material attachments. So does that make sense? These are not things that Krishna or his devotees do. It doesn't work like that. The devotees are the most important to Krishna. Therefore, you speak against the devotees, Krishna doesn't like it. Does this make sense? One should be very intolerant towards the blasphemy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, or his devotees. So it should not be allowed to happen. People speak against, it's just not allowed. If you're in a position, then you either stop it, or if you're not, you just leave. That's all. It doesn't even matter. It's your best friend, they want to start talking nonsense, just get up and walk out. Sorry, I can't listen to this. They'll figure it out. You know, next time they'll leave, either be more careful, or you find a new friend. Like that, what's the use? Like that. They can't respect you for your beliefs and stuff, why get involved? Like that. Okay, so without these, then sadhana bhakti, and you can't establish yourself properly in sadhana bhakti. And the sadhana bhakti, then by practice, the idea is that when you're using intelligence, you perform activity, then you get realization. Does that make sense? See, this is lamentation. All in 1 second. Trying to drop the bottom. That's the whole idea. If that's the life you want, you know, then hey. Go for it. So hope that your mommy, when you're 40 years old, is still into supporting you. Right? Okay. Any questions on this? Yeah.
Maharaj, I wanted to ask you about that principle of not explaining philosophy to those who are not interested, how that applies in preaching.
In preaching, you're picking a field where you feel that there'll be something there, and then you start talking. And according to the audience, then you're going to speak. You know what I'm saying? If you find that the audience is not favorable, you don't speak. Change the subject. Find something that they're willing to listen to. You know, start talking to the yoga or something. You know what I'm saying? Like that. But if they're favorable, then you speak. Like that. That's the most. In other words, the main thing that is instruction is within the association of devotees. See, is that it's very important to make new devotees, but it's also just as important, if not more, to cultivate those who have become devotees. Right? Sometimes you see there's an emphasis only on making devotees, but then once they're made, what do you do with them? The idea is, oh, they'll work it out, you know. But the point is, you know, it's still a long way from just joined to going back to Godhead. So, you know, from Shraddha to Prema, there's, you know, a little instruction might be worthwhile. So that's the idea, you know, is that preaching to devotees is more important. Like the senior men, Prabhupada didn't want to preach to the outside. He wasn't so interested that GBC and other senior men preached to the outside. That, he said, let the newer people, right? Because you've come from that, it's easy for you to relate to that. And in other words, the material energy doesn't have a whole lot to offer in the way of serious philosophy. So realization in a small amount of the philosophy is enough to convince someone to join, right? But that same energy that one would then put into them by someone who has so much more understanding, better that's put into devotees, right? Because then their realization is going to have meaning to devotees. It's not going to have as much meaning to the outside. Right? It's not that it's some big program, rock the opera, pun and all, or like this, but it doesn't mean that would be their concentration. Right? Like you see, Prabhupada wasn't concentrated on preaching to the outside. You do big programs. But, you know, the temple devotees, they were the ones that would preach to the outside. Does that make sense? But at the same time, Prabhupada wanted to see that preaching to the inside was happening, so he said, boil the milk. By 75, he was saying, now we should boil the milk. We have so many devotees. The preaching program should go on, but that shouldn't be now our focus. Our focus should be on cultivating what we have. Right? Because in the beginning, then the focus was on how to make devotees, how to spread. So once devotees understood the process, it works. Therefore, that doesn't have to be your primary focus. That's something now that just goes on. So the same program, saying that continues. Now the focus should be on how to cultivate those who are have taken it up and become, and so they become serious. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So like that one is careful. You have an open program, so you speak. You try to speak in such a way that, you know, it's as appealing as possible. You know, like that. And generally in those kind of programs, then people don't like, they'll just go away. You know, if they're a little more pious, they'll go over and get some prasad. If they're less pious, they'll just disappear.
What about giving a book to an unqualified person?
Books, generally, they have a tendency to either to stick them on their shelf or give them away, or they generally don't sit down and read them if they're not really qualified. But, you know, because they spent money, they don't want to get rid of it, they stick it on the shelf, somebody will read it, or they may even read it at the time. Prabhupada said they're like time bombs, you know, they just sit there and wait. You know, and at some point they're going to get you. Like that. So if you don't read it, your kids will read it, somebody else will read it. Like that. So or you have the one where the person gets upset, throws it in the garbage, and then the prospective devotee happens to be either walking by and sees it in the garbage, or they work there and they're clean throwing out the garbage and they notice the book and then they read it and become a devotee. So it's been a lot of devotees became devotees by Bhagavad Gita's in the garbage.
You made the point that the residents of the spiritual world are people and they have family values. Maybe you remember Prabhupada once said that when you go back to Godhead, there'll be an ISKCON camp.
Yes.
So I was wondering, are we to take that literally and conclude that we'll all have relationships in the spiritual world?
Yes, it means those who are important to you, that you'll have relationships.
So relationships now will continue on.
They'll continue on, but they don't continue on in the same form. In other words, this one's your child, this one's your wife, this one's... That doesn't continue. But the same living entities will be together, who are committed in the same way. Okay. Yeah.
I was just wondering, since we're talking to someone who's just coming along to Krishna consciousness, and they came through Srila Prabhupada, but they're also mixing with other groups as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just wondering what a good way to sort of, because they were saying that they want to spend time all for the devotees from both groups, so what would you...
Just make it when they're with you, it's nice, that's all. The point is it's not that other groups can't take you back to Godhead. Right? So this is someone who's coming up, they've met them, they've met you, that's another thing. What I'm talking about, the people who have been picked up, have been established in Prabhupada's movement, then going somewhere else. That's what I mean. If they go and pick them up off the street, great. Like that. I mean, what their philosophy, our philosophy is the same. It's the same group. But just your leaders of it, the slight mood of it would be different and all that. And that's what you don't want to risk. You know, you want to be with Prabhupada, you know, standing there behind Rupa Goswami, then, you know, you have to be standing in the right place. You know, but if you're off mixing so many places and sitting around like a bumblebee, then, you know, you might not find that you're standing, you know, with this group. Does that make sense? So in other words, when they're with you, they find it nice, you know, whatever it is that they're attracted to when they're with you, you know, whatever it's the culture, the philosophy, or whatever it is, just nice feelings, and just make sure that goes on nicely. And they'll make their own decision, right? They have their own taste, like that. We're not worried. Okay. Like that. It's not that they can't go back to Godhead. It's just in a different group.
You've been mentioning on the point that one should be careful of not assuming that it's non-devotees.
Yes.
Now, what deal if in a family you have few members like your parents or let's say brother, sister, who doesn't believe in non-devotees and have put up with them?
Yeah, well, as long as they respect your position. You know, main point, you just tell them, listen, we're brothers and sisters, okay, we gotta live together, so therefore, I am into this Krishna consciousness. If you like, I won't talk about it, but you also don't talk about it. Like that. It's that simple. You want to talk about it? Hey, there's plenty of apartments here in Sydney. And, you know, since you're in Sydney, don't complain. If we're back, you know, somewhere in India, then you can complain. How can you move out of your family? But hey, we're over here where the Malechas and Yavanas rule, and that you move here. If you're so worried about your Indian culture, why would you ever move here? So that's the bottom line, Dad. Like that. You like what I'm doing? I like what you're doing. You don't like what I'm doing? Hey, it's only $200 a month, and I'm not. It's that simple. And if you put it that way, then generally Indians are quite intelligent. And if they say, well, I'm your father, so if you're my father, what the hell are we doing in Sydney? You know, if you say you're Indian, why are you here? Right? No intelligent, cultured Indian would be sitting here. You know what I'm saying? Why would they be here? So therefore, I don't buy it. So this is the way it works. You know, you want me here at your house? I'm here. I'll be the good son, I'll do everything, I'll be the good brother, or whatever it is. But, you know, you respect what I'm doing, and I'll respect the family scene. If you don't respect it, then God's more important than you'll ever be, so I'm out of here. You say it like that, it works, it gets something. And when they want Sydney, show a little Sydney attitude. Once they've accepted, don't show any attitude. You understand? You just use it to get the point across, and back after that, you go back to being your normal self.
We spoke earlier about Srila Prabhupada and the natural affiliation of people, or someone would have been saved by Srila Prabhupada. So we're in an institution where Srila Prabhupada left, but devotees have their own spiritual masters. So is the dynamic the same, or is there a difference? In other words, in a family we have a father, we have many uncles, so now in the institution we may have a father, we may have lots of uncles. So is that dynamic the same, or is it different within the institution?
Basically it's the same. I mean, you don't give up your spiritual master and go off with another one. That's obvious. So it's basically, but the main principle is you're dealing with the Adi Guru, because everybody else will be saying what he says. Their instructions will be in line with what he says. That's what makes them bona fide. Right? They're not bona fide on their own. They're bona fide because they speak what the Adi Guru speaks. So that's what makes them strong. So then in the same way, yeah, you would be very, you know, careful and mature about the process. You accept the guru, and that's where it works, like that. It doesn't mean, though, that one doesn't take instruction from other persons. But then the Diksha Guru will always be the common. Right? And if something doesn't, one is inspired by hearing from others, and that's shared with the spiritual master. You know, or worked out with him that, you know, I like hearing from this person, is that okay? And, you know, work it out. Like that kind of thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I was just thinking of one of the and discussing that point, because in his obvious affiliation with the guru, not so much exclusively, but he was wondering how exclusive did he have to be within the system.
But his exclusive means he's the Diksha Guru, so that position is always there. But as far as siksha goes, one can have so many siksha gurus. Like that. But they don't take prominence over the diksha guru unless that's approved of by the diksha guru. Or the diksha guru is not in a position to function properly anymore. Then these siksha gurus become more common. Does that make sense? But the connections are made, this, that, that goes on. You know, does that make sense? Is that okay? So it's just a matter of etiquette. But the main, what we're lying, what we're discussing here is not that, is the founder of the charter. That's the main thing. So when someone leaves and goes off with another group, the main problem is they're leaving Shiva Prabhupada. Because the spiritual master is representing him anyway within his time, the beginning of the founder of the charter. Does that make sense? Yes.
The concept is coming back to the non-devotees and the answer to the gentleman before about, well, if they're respecting your faith or your philosophy, then that's okay in the same environment. Most of us, yeah, that are households and things that operate in the world, if we didn't keep friends outside of the devotees, we can't have any friends. And in all our daily operations, most of our mind is actually fixed itself on the temple. So then what's the, is it the same standard that they respect your way of life and your philosophy, is that okay? Or?
Basically, otherwise why, how would they be friends if they don't accept you for who you are? You know what I'm saying? See, we're making a distinction here between those who we have to interact with because that's just the way it is. You know, you go down to the corner, you know, supermarket, and you got to deal with, you know, the people at the cash register, or you go to work and you got to deal with others at the job or the boss or those kind of things. That's just, you know, part of the occupation. But you're not associating with them, right? You're not taking on their values. You're not taking on their lifestyle. You're just working with them. That's a completely different thing. That is. Depending on your situation, you may have more or less of such people. What we're talking about is those who actually, the interaction is close enough that it can have actually effect upon your value system. That's what we're talking about. So then if those friends don't respect that, then, I mean, even if it's something they don't want to deal with, but then don't talk about it, but everything else goes fine. But it can't be that they're upset about that, or how is it you're a devotee, or if that's there, then how are they respecting your values? You know, so then you can see that the friendship isn't actually that deep. But you say you should be more careful, and you should see, are there other persons in the area, there's other devotees you can get involved with. You know, you can always look around. So you have to be very careful, because otherwise you tend to pick up their habits, or habits you want to give up, they cultivate. You know what I'm saying? They smoke, they drink, you don't want to smoke and drink. So, you know, the problem, it doesn't bother you, then, you know, then life goes on. But if it does, then, you know, you might be busy more often. You know, your schedule is somehow, the workload is more, and you can't be with them. And then some actually just fritter off and go somewhere else anyway. You know, they can't be bored, so they'll find something else anyway. Does that make sense? Like that. You know, and then try to find if there's, you know, others who are more favorable, other devotees or of those, you know, friends who actually will be more respectful, you know, towards, you know, your beliefs and stuff like that. Does that make sense? You know, then the quality of the relationship improves. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's just a matter of that. Then you're giving association. The main thing is if you're giving association, it's not a problem. It's just taking. But, you know, so they come over, you know, they take some prasad, you know, you have your normal chit-chats or whatever it is. Not really. How do we remain stable in all conditions? The weakness is when everything's going great and then we see Krishna's very kind, but then when it's not going great, then whose fault is it? That's the problem with this method. You know, so why is Krishna allowing this to happen? Right, so if something's too drastic, then being Krishna's fault, then we can lose faith in Krishna. No. What comes to us, good or bad, is from our own endeavors. So in other words, if something materially good is happening, that is meaning that in the past you have performed some pious activities that you're getting this. And if something not so nice comes, it means you perform impious activities and now that's coming. That's one aspect. Another aspect is just know it that by nature it will go up and down. But the point is as a woman, the essential point is satisfaction. Right? Because happiness is defined as obtaining something that you don't have, something you want. The moment you get it, that's called happiness. That experience at that moment is called happiness. Difficulty with it is that moment, within a moment, is gone. Right, so then happiness is very short-lived. Right? So then satisfaction means what I have, I am happy with. Right? Then if something more comes, then your satisfaction is increased. Right? So that way, that will create more of a balance. Right? You know what I'm saying? Because it's dissatisfaction that throws women into, you know, anxiety. You know what I'm saying? So if you cultivate satisfaction, that will create more of a balance, right? Because, see, women will become angry because of insecurity. Right? Men get angry out of frustration that they can't do something they want to do or obtain something they want to obtain. Women get angry when there's insecurity. Right, in relationship. So then, but if there's satisfaction, then it's not so easy for insecurity to arise. Does that make sense? But if you put security on, if they prove their affection for me by arranging this, and then they can't arrange that due to whatever reason, their own stupidity or just the mode of nature didn't allow it to happen that day and all that, we become insecure because then we think, well, they don't actually love me. Then we become frustrated. You know what I'm saying? But if we're satisfied, right, then we don't use as much that methods of testing. And so therefore, we, you know, that much less we use them, that much less we're insecure. Does that make sense? So that will then create more of a balance. There'll always be something. I mean, it's just being human means it will go up and down. But it should be within, how do you say? It should be within a range that you're comfortable with. Right? If it goes beyond comfort, you know, then it's a problem. You know, because if it's not comfortable to you, definitely it's not comfortable to anybody else. And even if it is comfortable for you, you have to see, it may or may not be comfortable for everybody else. You know what I'm saying? So you just want to be able to try to balance that. So the main principle is satisfaction and focus. It means on what you have, then you're satisfied with that. So those two things. Don't look elsewhere. Because there's unlimited things elsewhere. You know? Now that one has a Porsche, you know, but then that one has a different colored Porsche, you know, and that one and the wheels are different on their Porsche. And so I mean, there's unlimited Porsches you can have. So I mean, you know, it's just, and that's one thing, you know. So it won't work using that line. You know what I'm saying? So the more you can control that and be satisfied, then the more you're in your own life, then that whole roller coaster will be a little bit more, how do you say, controlled or more comfortable, less insane. Is that okay? Okay, so we'll end here. We'll continue tomorrow with the, we'll go on to the next, the main, now the next body, the 44 items.